Call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on August 16, 2017. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. Commissioners Crashes and Fedorchak are with me, so we have a quorum. For opening comments, I will update you a little bit on the meeting that was held with the EPA Administrator last week in Grand Forks. You know, outside of the controversy that we've all heard about over whether there was enough access to the press or whether it should have been open to the public, those were certainly things that were not in our domain of decision making. Was invited and attended, and I guess the takeaways for me, I'll tell you, the other people in the room made a lot of points, and there wasn't really time, I didn't think, to elaborate on every single thing. So I tried to make some points that I didn't expect to be made from others in the room. And two of the key things that I tried to emphasize when it comes to rulemaking are that when new rules are necessary, and sometimes they are, they should be done incrementally. And I pointed out that with things like sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, mercury, we are capturing those elements at levels that I don't think were even imagined possible a couple decades ago. And it wasn't because someone mandated that by 2017 you have to be at these levels. It was because as technology made it possible to do these things at a reasonable price, we set the bar then at that level and required it. And so incrementally, it has been possible, not just by magically waving a wand and picking some round number year and some round number percentage to capture. The second thing I suggested was that when rules are adopted, that they require a balancing. And although it's not an EPA rule, I used the SMACRA rule that we work with here when it comes to mine reclamation laws, and that just celebrated its 40th anniversary. And I think one of the things that has made that such a successful program is that right in the law it requires a balance between protecting the environment and, in that case, the stated need in the law to have coal for the nation's energy production. And so my recommendation was that when there are EPA rules, that they ought to require a balance between protecting the environment and the need for dependable and affordable energy or dependable and affordable food production or whatever the product is that would be regulated. And it really seemed to me, I've had opportunities before with high-ranking officials to speak, and I don't think that's uncommon, but in this case, he really seemed to be listening. As people went around the room, there were times when he interrupted and asked questions or asked for clarifications or provided feedback. And so it wasn't just a matter of showing up and letting some people speak. He really seemed to be interested and was listening. So I thought there was some useful interaction there. That concludes my opening comments, Commissioner Crashes.
I'll keep it very brief. We have had a busy week, and actually I would say from what I've seen over the past almost 5 months, it's always busy, and that's a good thing. We're covering a lot of ground, and today we have a lot of ground as well to cover with the agenda items, so I will defer to Commissioner Fedorchak for her comments, but I believe that's actually your job, Mr. Chairman. So, not trying to step on your toes here.
you'll move into that chair soon. So,
okay, moving right along.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We've got an interesting agenda today, and an interesting week of work that Brian alluded to, which will be concluded on Friday with a hearing in Minot. It's been quite a while since we've had a transmission line, electric transmission line hearing, And I think it's we have one in Minot on Friday, and it's a hearing to really consider a project that is needed to address the changing load and increasing load out there and maintaining the reliability of the system in that part of the state. And so it's an important project. It's a project that the companies, including Basin Electric and MDU, have worked together on to some extent in the planning for it. And so I'm looking forward to having that hearing and Minot hearing from the public on that project to see if they have concerns. And again, moving forward in orderly fashion to approve or consider the energy infrastructure our state needs to continue growing its economy and allowing the resources, the many energy resources that we have, to be developed and brought to market. So looking forward to that hearing and to a productive, efficient meeting this morning. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
We'll move to the consent agenda then. There are approval of meeting minutes and seven agenda items. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I'll move to my portfolio, and if there's no objection, I'm going to take RC2 first and RC1 second. I think they explain better in that order. And I see no objection. RC2, I move the commission approve bond release number 1 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 200.1 acres located in portions of sections 26 and 35, Township 146 North, Range 82 West in McLean County. No monetary bond release is being requested since the current bond amount is based on the worst-case reclamation condition for this permit and others at the Falkirk Mine. This release will become effective September 18th, 2017, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
So the first part of my comments on this are going to apply to this and the next motion, unless someone wants something repeated or has questions. And I'll let you know where the two kind of separate. But these two are both bond releases at the same mine, and there's differences and some things in common. And so the part that is in common is that on September 23rd of last year, the Falkirk Mining Company filed the application for these two bond releases. Together, the two applications contain a land area totaling 628.1 acres, located about 3 miles southeast of Underwood. Most of the land included in these bond release applications is within the Coal Lake Wildlife Management Area that is open to the public for limited recreational uses. The formal bond release inspection of both bond release requests was conducted on November 10th of last year. The surface owners, the McLean County Commissioners, and several state and federal agencies were invited to participate in the bond release inspection. The surface owner of most of the land in the bond release tracts was represented by Paul Mock and Cassandra Torstensen from the North Dakota Department of Transportation. The DOT is the landowner for most of it. Dan Halstead and Casey Anderson from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department participated in the inspection and were available to answer questions regarding the operation of the wildlife management area. And a letter supporting the bond release was received from Terry Steinwan, the director of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Richard Hushka from Missouri River Sanitation, the owner of some undisturbed land that's not within the wildlife management area but in this release, also participated in the inspection and did not express any concerns. The public notice for both of the bond release applications was published in the official county newspaper, which is the McLean County Independent, as well as the Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks, which were October 27th and then November 3rd, 10th, and 17th of last year. No objections or concerns were received regarding this bond release application. If approved, both bond releases would become effective on September 18th unless a formal hearing is requested. So now I'll get into the parts that are specific in this particular case, again, as I mentioned in the motion, it's 200.1 acres in sections 26 and 35. And the ownership of these 200 acres includes the Department of Transportation has 146 acres. The State Historical Board has 46.1, and Missouri River Sanitation Incorporated has 8. And Falkirk transferred ownership of that 46.1 acres in Section 26 to the Historical Society way back in 1989 already to preserve an important prehistorical cultural resource site that was described in pre-mining resource inventory for this permit area. The cultural site contained within this tract is now known as the Pulver Mounds State Historic Site. No mining-related disturbance took place in this tract or the 8-acre tract in Section 26 that's owned by Missouri River Sanitation. I want to say, I mentioned earlier in opening comments, the effectiveness that I think is the SMACRA law and our management of it. This is an important historic site that contains apparently some burial grounds and such. It never got disrupted because of pre-mine inspections and things like that. It was immediately, because it is significant, transferred to the State Historic Department, and it is now part of this wildlife management area, but it's fenced out separate, so people aren't going to be tearing around on ATVs there or anything, and it is maintained. Well, the 146 acres owned by the Department of Transportation is part of the larger land transfer known as the Coal Lake Transfer in the mining permit and bond release documents. Falkirk entered into an agreement in 2009 to donate 729.4 acres of land bordering Coal Lake to the DOT. The transfer allowed the establishment of Coal Lake Wildlife Management Area to mitigate no-mo and managed-mo areas within the rights-of-way of the state highway system in McLean County. For those who were around back in the years before this and recall driving Highway 83 through there, the ditches didn't get mowed, and it was part of a federal requirement when they upgraded that road to minimize loss of wetlands. Coming from Hazen and driving that road frequently, I never knew how that came to be, but it was frustrating to a lot of egg producers, especially on years like this when hay was short and there would be those ditches that went unmowed. We up there also referred to it as the killing zone because, you know, right along a major highway is not a very good place for wildlife management. It caused a lot of wrecked cars and dead wildlife, but this was really a win-win to mitigate those acres, allow mowing, and shift them over closer to this lake. So zoning change from agricultural to industrial zone, agriculture and industrial to recreational for primitive recreational use was granted by the McLean County Board of Commissioners in 2008 for the lands in the transfer. The Coal Lake Wildlife Management Area is operated by the Game and Fish Department for the DOT, which owns the land. Coal removal occurred from 1992 and 1993 in the northern portion of this tract, and the backfilling, grading, and soil respread was completed in 94. Seeding was completed in the mined area in 95, and the area of associated disturbance for a haul road constructed in Section 26 was reclaimed and seeded in 2008. Falkirk did not request any reduction in the bond amount for this particular tract, and so the Reclamation Division recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, now to go to RC1. I move the Commission approve bond release number 4 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-9601 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to release all remaining reclamation liabilities on 428 acres located in portions of sections 25, 26, and 35 in McLean County. The amount of the bond release is $277,832.45, and it will become effective September 18th, 2017, unless a formal request unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
Okay, I won't go through all of that again, but the portions that are separate, because these are, this is the same project, but there were two separate mine permits that were partially in this area. So for this particular segment, 9601, contains 428 acres, as I said, in sections 25, 26, and 35. The property is, as I said, in this case, entirely owned by DOT and is part of the Coal Lake transfer. The coal removal here occurred from 1999 to 2002 in the northeast portion of the tract. The backfilling, grading, and soil respread was completed in 2004 and 2005. And the seeding was completed in 2006. There are two developed water resource ponds in this bond release tract, and they're modified sediment ponds that provide water storage and wildlife habitat. And the North Dakota Department of Transportation requested that the ponds be retained, and they have accepted responsibility for maintenance of those ponds. This permit is covered by a separate surety bond from the other permit that we discussed earlier that is specific to the reclamation liabilities for land within this permit area. Falkirk is requesting a reduction in the bond amount in this area by the almost $78,000 I mentioned earlier. An adequate amount of bond will remain after that to cover any liabilities for the remaining acreage in this permit area. So the Reclamation Division recommends approval of this one as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, I just want to make a couple comments on both of these. It's not often that we have this bond release process completed. I think I've only been through one other in my time on the commission. I could be wrong. Maybe there's a couple smaller ones, but this is a really big deal to have this many acres approved for bond release all in one chunk. There's decades of work involved in this, and it really shows North Dakota's commitment to both allowing development of our resources, this valuable coal resources, which have been used for years to provide affordable, reliable electricity for citizens in our state and many other states, but then also to return the land to its previous state and remaining usefulness. And it's really kudos to the reclamation team and staff. Zanna, you're here today representing them. It's a great job holding the companies responsible for these high standards. Kudos to the companies for remaining committed to this. And really want to just take a moment to pause and celebrate all that great work. We get criticized sometimes for keeping land out of operation for too long and not getting the bond release done, but it's really because the staff and the regulatory program is so strict to make sure that they're meeting the standards, the pre-reclamation standards, that we make sure that it's done done right. And so today we get to have this 600 or so acres released back from our overview into the public sector, and it's really a great accomplishment. So congratulations and thanks to all those involved.
The occasional criticisms for not releasing land soon enough are properly balanced, though, with the criticisms for having released it too early, and then someone perceives that there's a problem with it, then it's too late to do anything about it. So
very true.
They seem to balance each other out a little bit. But you're right. Our team, as well as the mine, as well as in this case DOT and Game and Fish and the Historic Society, did a great job of working together and make something pretty useful. There was some acreage of this that was in productive agriculture before mining and now is part of this tract, but the Game and Fish is continuing to have local operator or operators farm those tracts and then harvest most of it, leave a little bit for wildlife, and so it is still being used for that, although it is part of this tract. So there's some ag production coming out of this as well.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Move the RC3, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1st, 2017 in CHS Incorporated, facility-based grain buyer, Lignite, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-17-309.
Second.
I will say this once for the next 8 or 9 items on the agenda. I don't want it to seem like there's a crisis in the grain merchandising business in North Dakota, that there's all these discontinuations of business. But because we have an annual licensing fee that's not refundable, if they drop out halfway through, they don't get half their money back or anything. So in many cases, if someone does discontinue, they just leave it go until the end of the annual licensing period and then send in the letter. And so every year in the early their licensing year is August 1st through the end of July. And so we always have a number of these where they've merged or discontinued or sold or something like that. So it's not a state problem here with these. So wanted to point that out.
Mr. Chairman, I might just suggest that perhaps this is your opportunity to make Brian and I look like we're kind of slugs by not having very many items on the agenda.
I've been a busy guy, yeah. In this case, though, the commission received a request from CHS to discontinue licensing its grain facility in Lignite. CHS notified staff that the facility has been sold. The new owners, Pipeline Foods Incorporated, are in the process of opening the facility as an organic elevator. The elevator should be opened around the beginning of September. The facility is now empty, and there are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, so staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those
aye.
Opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1st, 2017 in Golden Growers Cooperative, Roving Grain Buyer, West Fargo, North Dakota. Discontinue business case number GE-17-310.
Second.
On July 26th, we received a request to discontinue business from Golden Growers Co-op. Golden Growers will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under North Dakota license number 3031, effective August 1st. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC5, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 in Cereal Byproducts Company, license number 1300 of Minot, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-17-311.
Second.
On July 31st, we received a request to discontinue business from Cereal Byproducts Company for the grain warehouse at Minot. They notified us that business is no longer conducted at this facility. They leased this facility, and it was a processing facility and not a means to store grain for themselves or any other entity. The warehouse, though, is now empty, and there are no outstanding storage obligations, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 in Farmers Business Network Incorporated, Groving Grain Buyer, San Carlos, California, discontinue business case number GE-17-312.
Second.
On July 31st, we received a request to discontinue business from Farmers Business Network. This is currently licensed and doing business in North Dakota as FBN CM LLC. They really love the acronyms, I guess. Farmers Business Network Incorporated will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under North Dakota Roving Grain Buyer License 3213. Effective August 1st, there are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, so staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC7, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1st, 2017 to PKT Associates Incorporated, roving grain buyer, Fairlawn, New Jersey, to discontinue business, case number GE-17-313.
Second.
On July 31st, we received a request to discontinue business from PKT Associates. PKT will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under North Dakota Roving Grain Buyer License Number 3135, effective August 1st. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC8, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 in Commodity Specialists Company, Roving Grain Buyer, Minneapolis, Minnesota, discontinue business case number GE-17-314.
Second.
On July 20th, we received a request to discontinue business from Commodity Specialists Company. They will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under license number 3102, effective August 1st. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC9, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 in Spokane Seed Company, roving grain buyer, Spokane, Washington, discontinue business case number GE-17-315.
Second.
On July 24th, we received a request to discontinue business from Spokane Seed Company. They will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under license 3126, effective August 1st. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC10, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1st, 2017 in Concord Grain, LLC, roving grain buyer, Aberdeen, South Dakota, discontinue business, case number GE-17-316.
Second.
On July 25th, we received a request to discontinue business from Concord Grain. They will no longer be operating as a roving grain buyer under license number 3204, effective August 1st. There are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC11, I move the commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 in Diamond W Feeds Incorporated, license number 1238, Medina, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-17-317.
Second.
On July 29th, we received a request to discontinue business from Diamond W Feeds for its warehouse at Medina. Diamond W notified us they no longer conducted business at this facility effective August 1st. The warehouse is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations, so staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I want to point out in this one, this facility was operational. I can't remember when, but they sustained pretty heavy fire damage. And there is reconstruction going on there. And it's, you know, pretty significant reconstruction. I think they have sold it or are wanting to sell it. I'm not even positive of that. But this is one that I believe is going to be reopened when reconstruction is completed. I'd also point out, since we're dealing with the North Dakota community, that Medina was once known as just the 11th siding there along the railroad before it had a name.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And RC-12, I move the Commission issue the order granting request to discontinue business effective August 1, 2017 to Viterra USA LLC, license number 1266, Crystal, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-17-320.
Second.
On August 10th, we received a request to discontinue business from Viterra for its grain warehouse at Crystal. It was leased from O'Toole Seed Company. Viterra notified us that business is no longer conducted at this facility as of August 1st. The warehouse is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations. O'Toole Seed Company is in the process of applying for a grain warehouse license to operate the facility and receive beans on behalf of the Columbia Grain Incorporated. But as far as this discontinuation, staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would point out, probably doesn't need to be pointed out to our UND Commissioner Fedorchak here, but Crystal is the hometown of the famous defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens and Boston Bruins, Fern Headley.
I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Legendary.
I'd forgotten that little tidbit.
Played in the 20s, but glad I could help.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Well, if anyone was listening to all those and didn't catch the beginning explanation that this is a routine part of having over 400 annual licenses, there's probably a run going on at banks right now from all these discontinuations. But again, it is a normal part of an annual program like this. That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Crosius.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would recommend that you take a drink of water after all of that.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
Careful, that might not be the best water.
We don't have Fern Headley as a graduate, that's for sure.
I hope that doesn't require a motion. So, all right. Okay, first up for me, I move the Commission close Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, 2016 Electric Operations Annual Report, case number PU-17-145.
Second.
Okay, just as a refresher on this, Montana Dakota Utilities Company provides electric service to about 92,980 customers in North Dakota. Staff has reviewed the company's annual report filing for 2016. The company's return on equity was 9.27% in 2016. The commission authorized a 10.75% rate of return in case number PU-10-124 that would be applicable through 2016. For 2017 going forward, a 9.65% rate of return was ordered in the recent rate case PU-16-666. With the more recent 9.65% in mind, the company under-earned by about $2 million in 2016. If you were to consider the 10.75% return rate, the under-earning would have been approximately $8 million. Staff believes this under-earning is relatively minor and appropriately accounted for by the $7.5 million increase in the recent case, PU-16-666. And just as a point of reference, going back prior to 2010, the rate was actually 11.5%. So incrementally, the rates rate of return has been slowly going down. That can be attributed to inflationary factors, the cost of capital, and just the fact that interest rates are lower. That is good from a consumer standpoint, while also providing an incentive for the investment community to support a publicly traded utility, in this case, Montana Dakota Utilities Company. So it's you know, something that we're always trying to balance as a commission. It's important that we look at ensuring that the company remains healthy, but at the end of the day, we want consumers to have low, affordable, and reliable energy, low-cost, reliable forms of energy available to them. So with that, the staff, and I agree with this, recommends that the commission close the above-captioned case.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Public Service Commission Caliber, North Dakota LLC Pipeline Safety Enforcement, case number GS-17-171.
Second.
On November 14th through the 18th, 2016, Public Service Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Inspector Aaron Moorman conducted an audit of the gas pipeline safety records for the jurisdictional natural gas gathering and transmission system operated by Caliber North Dakota LLC. On April 27th, 2017, the manager of the Public Service Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Program issued a notice of probable violation alleging two probable violations, the first being that Caliber did not provide cathodic protection for their Hay Butte residue to northern border line within 1 year of completion of construction as required by 49 CFR 192.455. The second, Caliber did not provide cathodic protection for their Ponderosa Class 3 segment gas pipeline within 1 year of completion as constructed and as required by the same regulation. The proposed action for probable violation number one contained a proposed penalty of $8,600 and as a requirement that the company provide documentation of a close interval survey of the Hay Butte residue to northern border pipeline verifying no corrosion or anomalies that affect the integrity of the pipeline. On May 31st, 2017, Caliber submitted a check in the amount of $8,600 in response to probable violation number two. They contested probable violation number one. I want to clarify. They contested probable violation number two. On July 21st, 2017, Caliber submitted documentation of the results of a close interval survey satisfying the compliance action outlined for probable violation number one. And along with this, they also provided a response to the contested probable violation number two. And they requested that probable violation number two be withdrawn due to a reclassification of line and provided documentation. Upon review of the provided response, the pipeline safety manager has withdrawn probable violation number two. And just to give some background on that, at the time, the line was jurisdictional because a man camp was located in proximity to the line. That line has, that man camp has now been moved. It's or removed. It's no longer there. And there were more than 46 dwellings within a one linear mile, which is a part of the requirement. And it was within, those dwellings were within 220 yards of the center line of the pipeline. So, in effect, the pipeline, once the man camp was moved, became non-jurisdictional. And hence, they contested violation number two, probable violation number two, and staff withdrew.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just comment, Craig, good work on this whole issue. This is an example of how I think our staff and companies can go back and forth on issues that are found from a regulatory standpoint. The staff identifies the problems. There's interaction with the company. In this case, the company said, yeah, we screwed up in one place, and they paid the fine. And in the other place, they provided more documentation, and staff got rid of the fine. Perfect example, started in November, concluded today, beginning, and done. I really like how this worked. Thank you, Craig, for pushing it through. It's important enforcement out there. The public is counting on us to do it, and this is a good example of how it can work well.
Is it,
Just one additional comment. You reminded me, Commissioner Fedorchak. Thank you. And in talking with Craig, he indicated that Caliber did go above and beyond on addressing the probable violation on probable violation number two. And while it became non-jurisdictional, they still took necessary steps to provide cathodic protection, as I understand it in visiting with Craig. So they were proactive, as you allude to, and a very good outcome.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next up, I move the Commission approve the revised tariffs and gas transportation service agreement in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated. Gas transportation schedules 81 and 82, tariff and rates, case number PU-17-194.
Second.
Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, filed proposed revisions to its natural gas transportation service tariff rates 81 and 82 and associated service agreements on May 17, 2017, to modify the penalties for transportation customer imbalances and to eliminate eliminate language that was duplicated in both the transportation tariffs and in the service agreement. The Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on May 31st, 2017, requesting that the comments and requests for a hearing be received by July 17th, 2017. As of August 2nd, 2017, no comments or requests for hearing were received. Staff has reviewed the filing and recommends approval of the proposed revisions. A motion to approve has been added, of course, to this agenda. And just as a little bit of background on this one as well, transportation customers purchase natural gas from a third-party supplier. They use MDU's distribution system, in this case, to transport their natural gas from a transmission pipeline connected to MDU's distribution system to the business location, the meter point. Occasionally, a transportation customer may bring more or less natural gas into MDU's distribution system and then taking at the meter, and this creates an imbalance. So it's either an undertake or an overtake. The previous language in terms of the undertake or overtake charges was a straight charge of 30 cents per decatherm. This now is moved to a graduated scale, where the greater the imbalance, the greater the balancing charge will be. It starts out as a smaller amount and then exponentially grows as the imbalance increases. So staff has reviewed and recommends approval as mentioned.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I'm going to, well, I'll wait on this and move into this next one. I move the Commission adopt the order on electric service agreement and certificate of public convenience and necessity in Montana Dakota Utilities, Rough Rider, Electric Cooperative Incorporated, City of Beulah Service Area Agreement, case number PU-17-226, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, City of Beulah, Service Agreement, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-227.
Second.
Now, similar to Commissioner Christman's comments on grain licensing, the grain licensing cases, we have three more that I will be presenting, but the comments will be applicable to all of those. On May 25th, 2017, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, and Rough Rider Electric Cooperative Incorporated filed a joint application for approval of a service area agreement to establish service areas and designate service locations to be served by MDU and Rough Rider within and around the city of Beulah, North Dakota. And we had quite a bit of conversation on this and met with both Rough Rider and Montana Dakota Utilities Company came in. And it was really just a wonderful example of the two companies working together and avoiding duplicate resources within the same area. When companies can get together and work through these things and come to a mutual agreement on this, it's in the best interest, ultimately, of the ratepayers. We're not seeing additional resources, infrastructure being added, and that goes back to not only the cost of service, but also their safety aspects and the long-term benefit, not only to the companies, but ultimately the consumer are favorable without question. So it was good to see that they were able to come in. It was frankly a very short meeting overall. They had done the required work prior to their arrival, and I would again want to commend both companies for coming to this agreement. And things are shifting as towns in rural North Dakota, rural communities, and the cities that serve them have grown over the course of time. Boundaries can and do change. So, again, I think it was a very good conclusion, good discussion, and I appreciate the time that both spent with the commission.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I want to add to that, you know, and commend the companies, and some of you have been around and recall the days about 20 years ago when these kinds of settlements didn't occur, and just about every legislative session we'd have bills having to do with the Territorial Integrity Act, the famous TIA bills down in the legislature, and the utilities would be down there trying to persuade us to do something to tip the playing field in their favor a little bit for those PSC battles that were occurring frequently. And the evolution into this kind of system where the companies sit down together in advance before there's some new big load springing up and wanting to fight over it, this is so much better of a way of resolving these things. And so I also want to commend the companies for working together, getting these things handled in advance, coming up with logical and clear boundaries, and then moving forward. This is a good solution.
And I'll chime in too. On the commission, there we deal with a lot of different issues, and almost always you feel like you can find a solution that provides a path forward that has some balance for all the parties involved. But these cases, when they come to us and there's a dispute over who gets to serve, there's a clear winner and a clear loser. And this process allows for win-win when they establish the boundaries ahead of time and can, you know, make preparations over years and years to serve those areas, far preferable to when we pick who gets the load and then somebody else doesn't. So I also appreciate the hard work that went into negotiating these boundaries and then carrying through with them.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on electric service agreement and certificate of public convenience and necessity in Montana Dakota Utilities, Rough Rider Electric, City of Belfield, service area agreement, case number PU-17-228, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, City of Belfield, service area agreement, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-17-229.
Second.
Okay, again, not to be redundant, the same comments would apply to this for the City of Belfield as applied to the City of Beulah, the same players and the same concept.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on electric service area agreement and certificate of public convenience and necessity in Montana Dakota Utilities, Rough Rider Electric Cooperative Incorporated, City of South Hart, service area agreement case number PU-17-230, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, City of South Hart, service area agreement, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-17-231.
Second.
Again, the same comments would apply to this as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on electric service area agreement and certificate of public convenience and necessity in Montana Dakota Utilities, Rough Rider Electric Cooperative Incorporated, City of Hazen, service area agreement, case number PU-17-230, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, City of Hazen, service area agreement, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-17-231.
Second.
And no other comments, again, similar to the others.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just ask, Brian, so that's four service area agreements?
Correct.
All completed within, and do you have a total for how many that brings us to? We talked about that in the hearing, how many total service area agreements we have in place. Might be interesting to have.
Yeah, we did pull that number off the top of my head, though.
Yeah, I was maybe some staff can figure
well.
That out.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and my final, see, Randy, I think I gave you a run for your money on the grain licensing, but
pretty good pile here.
Yeah, pretty hefty. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 in case number PU-17-269 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, Advanced Prudence, Thunder Spirit Wind Project, application case number PU-17-268, and Thunder Spirit Wind Expansion Project, public convenience and necessity, case number PU-17-269.
Second.
On June 30th, 2017, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed for an advanced determination of prudence, case number PU-17-268, and an amendment to Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, number 5870, and that's case number PU-17-269, to authorize a proposed 42 to 48 megawatt expansion of the 107.5 megawatt Thunder Spirit Wind Project in Adams County, North Dakota. The issues to be considered in this are, is MDU's proposed Thunder Spirit Wind Project expansion investment prudent? Two, whether public convenience and necessity will be served by the expansion? And three, whether the applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide service? Those interested are invited to comment in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 27th, 2017. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And the first part of the Thunder Spirit project was back in 2015, prior to my time as a commission, so I'm very confident that the other commissioners, if they wish, can certainly provide some more background on the initial expansion. But in terms of this one, the turbines would be slightly larger. They would be 3-megawatt turbines. We're looking, or the company is looking at placing 14 to 16 of those, which leads to the 42 to 48 megawatt expansion in terms of overall capacity that will be, our total capacity that will be added to the 107.5 megawatts. And with that, I'm going to defer to my colleagues since they, not to put either of you on the spot, but you obviously worked with the initial project and are more in tune to what that involved.
Well, from my perspective, this point we're taking right now is that we're going to have, it's an opportunity for a consolidated hearing, and so we still get a chance to go through what the company's proposing here, have discussions with them, and ultimately make a decision after that process is completed. So I will have more comments on this particular project and its prudence after we go through that process.
I agree. I'll also wait until we get into the hearing stage.
Do we have a motion and a second? Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Right. I move the commission adopt the order issuing first reissued second amended certificate of site compatibility number 35 in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group, Inc., Thunder Spirit Wind Project Siting Application, case number PU-17-192.
Second.
So this is the other piece to what Brian was just talking about in terms of the prudence discussion. We also have been undergoing a revision to their application for a siting certificate for the same Thunder Spirit project. So just a little bit of the history here. In October of 2013, we approved a permit authorizing construction up to 150 megawatts for this wind project. In the a supplemental order in 2014, we authorized construction of 31 previously approved locations and 43 proposed locations for 2.5 megawatt wind turbines. And then in December of 2015, the first phase of the project, consisting of 43 2.5 megawatt turbines, was completed, totaling 107.5 megawatts of nameplate capacity. So we had permitted it 150. There was at that point 42.5 megawatt remaining, and they had 31 locations previously approved that remained. So then this spring, MDU proposed an amendment to increase the total project generating capacity from 150 megawatts to 155.5 megawatts. They decided, as the technology has evolved, they wanted to use larger turbines. So they're proposing to use 3-megawatt turbines versus 2.5 in 16 of the 31 previously approved locations. And so it's fewer turbines, fewer larger turbines, and fewer locations, but it brings the total to the total project up to 155. So we issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing. That issue expired in July 5th. We didn't receive any comments or requests for a hearing. MDU has conducted the additional studies on the larger turbines necessary to evaluate the shadow flicker, the noise impacts, and there's no additional impacts from the previous sound and shadow flicker studies based on the new studies of the newer turbines. The final turbine layout design includes 16 proposed plus 3 alternate sites. All of them will be on previously approved turbine locations. There will be no changes to the project roads from the previously approved design. So based on the information we've received from the company, based on the fact that we didn't receive any comments or requests from the public with concerns about this, the order today approves the company's plans and provides them with a permit to proceed with this second part of this project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to point out that I hope we're handling this correctly, because nowhere in my FFA parliamentary procedure manual does it say anything about how to handle first reissued second amended certificates.
I know. The staff has fun coming up with the motions, I think.
They seem to.
Is there any further discussion?
I would just say one interesting point, and The total cost of the expansion is projected to be $85 million. North Dakota's share of that would be approximately 71% or $60 million. And that putting this infrastructure in place in comparison to purchasing power on the from the MISO market, the savings to consumers over the life of the facility is estimated at $19.1 million. So just a point of reference in terms of overall cost and projected savings for consumers.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000, deem the application for amendment complete, and issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Elite Clean Energy Incorporated 100 megawatt clean energy number one wind project, Mercer and Morton counties, case number PU-17-302.
Second.
So this is another wind project that's proposing to slightly change what they originally were permitted to construct. They want to increase the nameplate capacity from 100 megawatts to 106 megawatts. And that is, again, they haven't, they're seeking to install up to 50 wind turbines, totaling up to 106 megawatts. All the turbines will be installed at locations previously approved by the commission with no changes to the previously approved design, but they haven't finally selected the wind turbine that they're going to use, but they want to have the ability to maximize their interconnect agreement, which is for 101.2 megawatts of net generating capacity. That's the agreement they've received from the MISO interconnection. And in order to reach that, they have to be able to produce slightly more power because of line losses along the way. So they're seeking to increase their size from 100 megawatts to 106 megawatts. This is a notice of opportunity for hearing. Comments or requests for a hearing must be received by September 25th of 2017, and if appropriate, the commission can determine this matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? I see none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. My last motion. I move the commission issue a notice of continued hearing on investigation in Dakota Access LLC, Dakota Access Pipeline Project Siting Application, case number PU-14-842.
Second.
We will actually come up with a date for this hearing later on in our admin portion of the meeting, but as we discussed yesterday in our meeting, we voted to extend or delay the hearing on investigation. And while this wasn't my preferred approach to delay this, I'm really hopeful that the delay is going to end up being productive. But regardless, it's important to reschedule this investigative hearing so that we stay on track either way. In doing so, I really want to reinforce that to both the company and to the public the intentions of upholding the permit conditions that we've already approved. We had a really fair, thorough permitting process. It involved a lot of give and take from both the public, from the company, and the commission as well. And I think it's noteworthy that despite significant unprecedented pushback from protesters from around the world, our process and permit was never questioned. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but importantly, I think it comes down to the fact that our process was open, it was transparent, and it was thorough. We really listened to the public. The company really listened to the public, and a lot of changes were made throughout the permitting process as a result. So what we're doing now, the work we're doing now, is really to ensure that all the commitments that the company made to the public through that permitting process are upheld. This is really a core function of our third-party inspectors, and then we take that information and follow through with it. So whether it's through our investigative hearing or whether it's through negotiations with the staff, the goal here is to address the issues that have been raised in a thorough and fair and efficient manner. So we'll go ahead and reschedule this investigative hearing so it's on the books and ready to go if the discussions with the staff aren't as productive as we're hoping that they will be.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would like to add that the decision to continue the hearing, those aren't easy decisions to make, but this is an investigative hearing, and I will reiterate that I do expect this to be meaningful and for it to be productive. It's something that the company brought forth to the commission, and really you're dealing with the unknown, to be perfectly honest. You are looking at the overall time frame. This has gone on for quite a lengthy period of time, and you're looking, really trying to look into the future, and does this accomplish the same, does this meet and accomplish the same thing while not extending it indefinitely, which certainly is not the preference of the commission, and I'm quite sure not the preference from the company's point of view as well. So at the end of the day, when you're balancing resources, you also have to look at the impact to taxpayers. We are a state agency. We're funded by taxpayer dollars, and you know, hindsight is always 20/20. We will look back and then be able to make a determination on whether or not this course of action made sense. But and I'm hopeful and optimistic that it will. So the same work will be done. It's just going to be done in a slightly different fashion, and I hope it expedites the entire process. And if a hearing does occur, or when it occurs, that it is less lengthy overall, and we get the ground covered. And I would fully agree with Commissioner Fedorchak. This is about ensuring that when a facility, in this case a pipeline, is cited, that the rules and regulations are followed, and this is investigative at this point. So we'll continue to dig into it and put this behind us, hopefully sooner versus later.
This is a good motion. I appreciate you bringing it forward. We'll get the earliest possible date set when we go into scheduling. And I hope this emphasizes the point that I at least attempted to make yesterday, that this is a short continuance, not an indefinite continuance, not the first of many continuances, but a short continuance.
I agree, Mr. Chairman, and I think that we're united in all of our approaches, even though we see it slightly different on how to get to the end, that our goal here is to maintain the standards of the permit and the commitments that have been made to the public through it. And there's no backing off on that commitment, regardless of how we approach it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes our agenda items. Some announcements that are on the calendar, and good segue, good timing for that last motion. Actually, the first one that's on the calendar is for tomorrow, the formal hearing on the open investigation in that project we were just discussing, but that was continued yesterday. So if anyone hasn't looked at a refreshed calendar, that is continued and will not be happening tomorrow. Then the next day, on Friday, we have a formal hearing at 11 a.m. on case number PU-17-102. That's the Northern States Power, a 230 kV transmission line up in McHenry and Ward counties that Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned earlier. That hearing will take place at the Sleep Inn at Minot. And on September 13th, that's a Wednesday, at 10:30, we have another siting hearing on case number PU-08932. ED&F Renewable Development. That's the Maricourt Wind Power Project that was scheduled for late June, and then there was a public notice that one of the papers missed publicizing, and so we had to postpone it. Again, that is Wednesday, September 13th at 10:30 in the City Hall in Ashley. That concludes the announcements that I wanted to make. We will stand and recess. One other announcement that I do want to make. Dwayne Walker said this might be his last time up here today. And Dwayne, I have had the opportunity to work with you for the 4.5 years here and 18 years before that in the Senate. And I just want to commend you. You know, you have always come to whatever function you were at and recognized the way that whatever group that was operates and managed to do your job in a way that's not disruptive, but yet brings home the story to people so that they can actually see what was going on. And I think just makes it a lot more real and helps the citizens to really be aware of and know what's going on in the state. You've done a fantastic job for the people and for the media, and I thank you. With that, we will stand and recess. We'll take some questions from the press and a short break after that, and then we will reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting.
Just a quick thing on the last item. Have you been getting any pushback given what's happened over the last couple of days?
From the public?
From the public?
I haven't received any direct calls. There's been some snarky comments on various social media platforms, but... But I don't make my decisions based on those, so we try to let those things pass. And I mean, I do think some people view the settlement offer that we made as being perhaps light on the company. And so, you know, that's easy to make conclusions when you're looking at things and, you know, with the facts that you have through the media, and we have to look at things with, you know, a much broader picture. And so I don't, in terms of the continuance, I think that there might be some feeling of the same, that we're letting the company off easy and letting them drive the process. But again, that's not the case. The process is just a way to get through to the final result, and the final result will be that we're going to explore all the items identified in the third-party construction inspection and have a very thorough conversation with the company about how best to make sure that those things were done correctly.
And as you said in the two previous meetings, you are plowing some new ground here.
We are.
You haven't faced before.
Yep, we have. There haven't been complaints in the siting processes before that the commission has formally followed through. All of them have been able to be addressed more informally. And so this is new ground, and we're using processes that we follow in other areas, like, you know, you saw the complaint that came to completion through the order today on the gas safety side of things. And so we're using some of that to guide us, but they aren't exactly the same types of cases, and so we need to tweak things a little bit, and some of that, you know, we'll be a lot smarter moving forward and thinking through this process and probably coming up with some formal guidelines in our rules and procedures moving forward after this is completed.
Do you have any indication about whether the company will accept the settlement offer, or have they communicated with you on the settlement offer?
I haven't received any communication from the company on the settlement.
And again, that's open only till the 24th.
Anything further on that? I just have a couple quick ones. Do you remember how many permitted acres there are at Falkirk?
No, I don't, but... we can get
I was
that
just
to
curious
you.
If you had that at the top of your head.
I don't recall the acreage numbers.
Okay. And you know me, I can't resist.
Oh.
going back to RC5, Cereal Byproducts Company, does that mean you're cereal killers? It since Wednesday. I haven't had
we
much
We knew
sleep.
There was a pun coming, but we
you
just
know,
didn't
you
know.
You saw
where
the
it
smile,
was
right, when you brought it up. So.
I think it means that just Commissioner Chrisman is.
Yes.
I can add one it was a question that that you had asked earlier, Julie, and that number of service area agreements to show you how efficient and quick the staff is on these types of things. 22 is the number. 22. So that thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jerry. Sarah. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. That was quick. Of course, one other thing, not to digress, but I guess I will just a little bit. Last night, you mentioned FFA. So last night I was looking for a particular jacket to wear, and I came across my FFA jacket from way back when, and I thought, hey, this is kind of fun. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to throw it on really quick. And believe it or not, you know, you can probably tell that I do a lot of bodybuilding, but it doesn't fit anymore. I thought, holy cow, how small was I?
What color is it?
It's a dark navy blue corduroy with just beautiful yellow gold emblems on it. Yeah, I should bring that, hang that.
Even way back then, it was the same.
I don't think. why mess with perfection?
Only Dwayne got that one.
Why mess with perfection? Yeah, thank you, Julie. I really appreciate that.
Okay, we'll reconvene for the administrative portion in about 5 minutes.